As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So I wonder if you'd forgive me a little nostalgia. I was given this book for my first Christmas by my grandparents. And I'd like to read a short extract to start with. Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Eeyore, the old grey donkey, stood by the side of the stream and looked at himself in the river.
Pathetic, he said. That's what it is. Pathetic.
He turned and walked slowly down the stream for another 20 yards, splashed across it, and walked slowly back on the other side. Then he looked at himself in the water again.
As I thought, he said. No better from this side. But nobody minds. Nobody cares. Pathetic. That's what it is.
There was a crackling noise in the bracken behind him, and out came Pooh. Good morning, Eeyore, said Pooh.
Good morning, Pooh Bear, said Eeyore gloomily. If it is a good morning, he said. Which I doubt, said he.
Why, what's the matter?
Nothing, Pooh Bear, nothing. We can't all, and some of us don't. That's all there is to it.
Can't all what? Said Pooh, rubbing his nose.
Gaiety, song and dance. Here we go round the mulberry bush.
Oh, said Pooh. He thought for a long time and then asked, what mulberry bush is that? I don't know about you, but I am feeling a little bit Eeyore-ish at the beginning of 2022. At the beginning of last year, I was thinking we might have the worst of COVID behind us and that through 2021 things would get better. And to a certain extent they did. But then it all went downhill again, and here we are going into another year with a lot of uncertainty and, for many of us, anxiety. Now, over the last couple of years, we've been exploring our church values in some depth, one at a time. We've looked at loving God, loving each other, loving our neighbours, exploring, and we have one left to go. Little test for you. What's the fifth value? Celebrating. Yeah, that was very celebratory. Well done, everyone.
Celebrating.
So, we're going to spend the next month or so concentrating on this value of celebrating, and in particular this morning, joyful worship. Now, I'm aware, as you will tell from the reading that I started with, that in some ways it does seem a little bit inappropriate, an inappropriate time to be doing this. Now, elsewhere in that book, we meet Tigger, who is always bouncing around, full of joys of spring, at one point bouncing Eeyore into the river. And some of the animals get so fed up with Tigger's bouncing that they end up trying to lose him in the forest. But the plan goes wrong, and Rabbit ends up lost, and in the end is delighted to see Tigger for all his bounciness as Tigger comes to find Rabbit. And so it is perhaps when we least feel like it that we actually need to pursue joy. And that's not about denying the challenges or pretending that things aren't painful or difficult, but because actually it seems to me that we need joy to survive them. It's actually when we least feel like it that it's most important that we pursue joy. And there are some great examples of this in the Psalms, which is the hymn book of the people of God in the Old Testament. If you read through the Psalms, many of them have parts that ask God, where are you gone? They talk about the pain of life. They grieve and lament over sin and death and illness and people falling out. It's all there. All the pain and the difficulties of life, but actually almost all of them come back to worship. They finish with an expression of trust in God, despite everything that's going on. And actually, Psalm 150 that Ali just read for us, which is the last psalm in the book, follows this pattern. For everything else that goes on in the Psalms, it finishes with this call to praise, this call of worship. Praise the Lord. Praise God everywhere, in earth, and in heaven. Praise God for all the great things God has done. Praise God with music and dancing and even cymbals. And not just human beings, but everything that has breath, praise the Lord. It's a universal call. Whether we feel like it or not, whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley, whether we're Tigger or Eeyore, praise the Lord. Now, it seems to me that we have a great example of this being put into practice in the account that we heard from Acts. Now, this happened a few years after Jesus had died on the cross. He'd been raised to life and he'd returned to heaven. And the Holy Spirit had come down and had filled the disciples and the early church, and it exploded in numbers and in faith. The message of the good news of Jesus was being taken out to all the cities of the Roman Empire. And some of the people taking this message was a small group led by Paul, which included Silas. So on one of their journeys, as they're going around telling people about Jesus, they end up in the city of Philippi. And as they're telling people about Jesus, and as they're going around the city, they meet a young woman who has an unclean spirit. And Paul frees her from the effects of this spirit. But her owners were really upset by this, because they used to make money from her fortune telling. And so they grab Paul and Silas, they have them thrown in prison after they'd been flogged. And that's where we pick up the account today. So, just take a minute to imagine yourself in that situation. You're in a strange city. You've been set upon by a crowd and dragged to court. You've been stripped and beaten until your back is raw and bleeding. And then you've been taken and put in a dark cell with your feet in stocks. Just take a moment, just pause. How are you feeling? What are you doing? Paul and Silas are singing hymns. They are doing what the psalm said to do. They are praising God. In the midst of all that. And what happens next? There's an earthquake. The prison doors spring open and their chains fall off. Paul and Silas are freed. But they don't exploit that freedom. They don't make a run for it. They know that if they escape, then the jailer will be held responsible and executed. That's why he was about to fall on his sword, because he reckoned that was a less painful death than having the other Romans do it for him. So instead, Paul and Silas, they go and tell their own jailer about Jesus. They invite him to worship as well. And he responds to that invitation, and he and his whole household, it says, are baptized. Just like we've baptized Millie this morning. This household was baptized because they wanted to say yes to God. And what was the result? What does it say? The jailer was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. The jailer was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. You see, Paul and Silas's decision to worship, despite the circumstances, led to freedom from prison for them, and to rescue and faith and freedom and joy for those around them. There was a multiplication of joy from that decision. So as a church, we value celebrating, we value joyful worship, not because we're always happy or because things are always great, but because God is greater. We believe that. So we express our value of celebration through our joyful worship. I don't know about you, but one of the things I found really difficult about last year was not being allowed to sing together. And now, wearing masks here, and having to sing wearing masks, that's a bit rubbish. It's better than nothing. Sometimes the music is loud and upbeat. Sometimes it's more reflective and calm. Whatever kind of music is, whether we have to wear masks or not, running through it all is that we aim to have this sense of joy that trusts God. And of course, our worship is wider than that. It's not just our singing on Sunday. It's how we express it through our lives. We've just heard from Joe. And I don't want to put words in Jo's mouth, but I'm sure she won't mind. She'll tell me afterwards if she does. That actually, knowing Jo, I suspect that she sees what she does on toddlers on a Tuesday as part of her worship. It's part of her giving of herself to God. She enjoys playing with the kids, but it's also part of her worship. Earlier this week, in our morning prayer, we read a little bit of Paul's letter to the church in another city called Colossae. And he says this: whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. That's how we worship with our whole lives. There are no compartments in following Jesus. It's not that over here is the church bit, and over here is the family bit, and over here is the work bit, and over here is the football bit. Over here is the going out with friends bit. Over here is the college bit. We are called to whole lives that point to Jesus, that are worthy of him, that worship him in joy. So, how do we do this practically? How do we do it? Particularly if it isn't our natural personality to be all tiggerish, or if things are challenging. I'd like to make two suggestions. And the first actually takes us back to the story I started with. It turns out that Eeyore is particularly miserable that day because it was his birthday and nobody's remembered. So Pooh Bear dashes off to tell Piglet and to fetch a pot of honey to take to Eeyore as a present. But on the way back, he gets hungry. And guess what happens to the honey? He eats it. And he turns up to Eeyore with an empty pot. Meanwhile, Piglet fetches a big red balloon to take as his present to Eeyore. And he's in such a hurry to get back, he trips and falls and the balloon bursts. And Piglet arrives with a burst balloon. So Eeyore's presents end up being an empty pot and a burst balloon. When Eeyore saw the pot, he became quite excited. Why, he said, I believe my balloon will just go into that pot. Oh no, Eeyore, said Pooh, balloons are much too big to go into pots. What you do with a balloon is you hold the balloon. Not mine, said Eeyore proudly. Look, Piglet. And as Piglet looked sorrowfully round, Eeyore picked the balloon up with his teeth and placed it carefully in the pot, picked it out and put it on the ground, then picked it up again and put it carefully back. So it does, said Pooh. It goes in. So it does, said Piglet. And it comes out, doesn't it, said Eeyore. It goes in and out like anything. I'm very glad, said Pooh happily, that I thought of giving you a useful pot to put things in. I'm very glad, said Piglet happily, that I thought of giving you something to put in a useful pot. But Eeyore wasn't listening. He was taking the balloon out and putting it back again, as happy as could be. So my first suggestion is that we practice taking joy in the little things. It says in the letter to the Hebrews, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Now, I'm not pretending this is easy. It isn't always easy. But I believe that the more we practice being grateful to God for those little things, the more we learn to see God at work in the day to day, the lighter our hearts become. And the second suggestion I have is that we follow Paul and Silas' example and sing, or listen to, if we don't feel our voices are up to it, hymns or worship music, even when we're not in church on a Sunday. Now, it is true to say that the whole of our lives, I don't want to lose that, the whole of our lives can be expressed in worship to God. But I know for many of us, music does something to lift our souls and help us have joy. There's a wealth of recorded music out there on Spotify and iTunes, on UCB Radio, on YouTube. There's loads of stuff. Worship isn't just about music, but there is for many of us something about listening to music that lifts our souls and can give us joy. And so it seems to me that adding Christian music, some of the stuff we sing on Sunday, discovering other stuff for yourselves that's in your musical taste, can really add something to our lives, can have a really positive effect day by day. can actually make joyful worship something that isn't just a Sunday thing, but actually weaves through the whole of our lives. So, as we go into this new year and beyond, with all its challenges and difficulties, we don't even know what they're going to be yet, let's choose to worship, to celebrate, to be full of joy in every aspect of our lives, and to trust in the God who loves us to free us from all that binds us. Amen.